We are moving along with session number four of our workshop on the Connections Program, targeting stress, anxiety, trying to live a more connected and fulfilling life. And we're making our way through in interconnection, the world of interconnection. And so far we've had two substantive sessions on that. We had a session about the body, focused on the body, accepting and receiving guidance from the soul, and sitting with distress in particular, learning how to muster up that strength to be able to sit, to give up the driver's seat, basically, to give up that, give up the steering wheel, and to be able to sit with that distress, to move beyond our comfort zone. And then last week we talked about the body, we talked about the soul and something the soul needs to do, which is taking care of the body's basic needs. In different domains, we talked about physical needs, we talked about spiritual needs of the body, we talked about various needs on both sides, and today we're going to be shifting back to the body. Last week was more focused on the soul. Well, the truth is, this week's session actually is really about an interaction between the two of them. In some ways, it's one of the fundamentals of communication between the body and the soul. But really, it is focused on the body. The way that the session is framed, which is accurate, is that this is an exercise or this is a way that the body should connect with the soul. Now, you'll see that if the soul doesn't cooperate, the body's not going to get very far. But nevertheless, the focal point of today's session is back on the body. And again, body and soul connection being the world of interconnection. Okay, so in terms of providing for the body's physical needs and spiritual needs, often we start with talking about a success story. Since we don't have too many people who are actually participating to the point that they want to share their experiences, I guess I will share one of mine. So recently I had an accomplishment, and I was very proud of it. I actually finished a book, which just got published. I'm very happy about it. You can actually check it out online. It's about spirituality and cognitive behavior therapy. It is a guide for clinicians. It's meant as a book for people in the clinical world. It's not meant to be a popular book. I think some aspects might be relevant to a more broad audience, but basically, it's the kind of thing that was intended for a clinical audience. Anyway, the book was finally published after many, many years, in fact, of work, and I was very proud of it. I really sat with my body and told them how proud I was and how great of an accomplishment this was. And it actually felt weird. Like my body felt like, no, I don't deserve it. It wasn't, it wasn't me. And I had to really sit there and provide for my body's need for feeling good about it and sit there and be okay with it. And it was a really, I was grappling with it specifically because we've been focusing on that last session. And I'm like, well, if I'm asking everybody else to do this, I better do this myself. It was a really great moment to be able to celebrate it and to give something to my body, because I know what he went through. I know how hard it was. I was there, and I am proud of him. Okay, so moving along, let's just briefly review what we talked about last week with interconnection part two. That there are three steps that the soul has to do to provide for the body. First, it has to love the body. And what that means is recognizing that its most fundamental role is to provide for the body's needs. It's about the soul is here to give to the body and to enable the body to be to achieve its goals in life. That giving, that act of being kind to oneself, is really an act of God. It allows the soul to be godlike by bestowing goodness upon another. And the other is the closest person. Often, talk about the shoemaker's daughter. The people who are closest to you often don't, shoemaker's daughter doesn't have shoes. Everybody else gets the shoes, but not the shoemaker's daughter. So if people are very kind to other people, then they're not kind to themselves. Well, then something's wrong. That doesn't mean that they're really somebody who loves and gives to other people. In order to achieve love for the body, the soul has to put aside its agenda and really focus on what it means to be physical. It might mean something That it might need, the body might need things, does need things that the soul doesn't understand. Things like ice cream and things like other forms of caloric intake and fun and recreation and enjoying things. And there's so many, there's a huge list we talked about last week. And sleep. These are things that the soul doesn't understand, and it needs to be selfless and love the body in order to give to it, not with an ulterior motive to get it to do things, but really because it loves it. Another thing is to identify the needs of the body. That's the next thing, the next step. The body has a lot of needs, both spiritual and physical, and some of those are more generic. There's exercise and diet. We also talked about spiritual needs like prayer and spiritual study, which really everyone has. But then there are specific needs that your body has. Like, for example, your individual sleep needs. You might need 7 hours a night. You might need 9 hours a night. You might need more or less than that. You have specific food preferences, specific spiritual sensitivities. And all of those are part of your body's profile. So connection involves spending the necessary time and energy, your soul spending the necessary time and energy to recognize what your body needs and to really know that and all the ins and outs so you can take care of him or her. And the last is to provide for your body's needs. Even after your soul musters up love and identifies what it needs, then there are lots of ways that it can get trapped and not facilitate interconnection. For example, let's say it knows what the body needs and it loves the body, but it doesn't take the time and effort to take care of the body's needs. Let's say it's indecisive. Oh, I'm not sure whether I should give myself that manicure. You know, do I really need it? Do I not really need it? Do it. Go take care of yourself. If your body has a need, don't hesitate. That's an act of self-compassion. That is interconnection. People are so worried about spoiling themselves today. Honestly, the bigger risk is not taking care of your needs today. Maybe in a different generation, people were, you know, at greater risk for that. But today, the biggest risk is not giving yourself enough sleep, food, friends, enjoyment in life. People are pushing themselves to the end of the, you know, to the end, and it's just not, you know, it's not sustainable. Sometimes people mull over the consequences of providing for a need. If I do, then what's going to happen if I don't? And they get almost obsessive about it. Well, you know what? Just do it. Provide for those needs. Actually providing, just giving in, giving the body something is a fundamental part of the process. And we talked about it, that these are interrelated. The more you love yourself, the more you'll identify what your needs are and the more you'll provide. And the more you provide, the more you'll love, and then the more you'll know. And the more you know, the more you'll love, and the more you'll provide. So all three of them are really related. Okay. Excuse me. Now, let's talk about interconnection part three, which is expressing the needs and raising issues to the soul. Expressing the needs and raising issues to the soul. This is something that the body does. And if you're following in the handouts, this is handout 4A, which is on page 13 of the handouts. Okay. We're going to discuss this shortly, but expressing needs and raising issues to the soul are two separate processes. The one is expressing needs, and the other is, well, raising issues. But there's a preface to that, which is our ability to engage in either expressing needs or raising issues, or both, that's constrained. And it's constrained specifically by the degree to which we appreciate what it means to have a soul. Now, human beings are blessed to have souls. But there are certain beings that are not. They're called animals. And according to the connections paradigm, animals, they have a life force. They have a body. But they don't have, and there is even a spiritual, if you will, correlate to the body, a life force to their body. But there isn't a soul. There isn't an actual, separate, non-corporeal, completely non-corporeal spiritual entity that is essentially a part of God that is inside of them. So an animal is really alone. They come to the world, and they don't have that loving parent inside of them who is devoted to taking care of all of their needs, and they remain that way throughout their lifetime until they die. And then there's still nobody. By contrast, each human being, anybody you've ever met, and anybody you ever will meet, has a loving, caring, compassionate teacher and parent right inside of them called a soul. And that being the case, whatever the issue you're having in life, no matter how challenging, you can always turn to your soul. If you're stuck on a desert island, you would not be alone because you have another entity there with you, somebody to guide you, somebody to love you, and literally a part of God. In fact, that's the next point. According to the connections paradigm,
The soul is literally a part of God. And if you develop a relationship with that soul, that is an access to divine knowledge. Right inside of you, you can figure out what it is that God wants from you. Often, all of the first, well, I mean, typically, I shouldn't say typically, in many cases, we also need outside guidance. And often that guidance, the best guidance, is just to quiet the mind so that way you're able to listen to your own soul. But often, and we'll talk about this a lot more when it comes to spiritual connection at the end of the program. I think you'll find that really fascinating. But often, all a person has to do to figure out the life challenge, what to do, is just to muster up the courage and reduce their distractions in order to have a body-soul connection. I meant it when I said a couple weeks ago that the most fundamental aspect of this entire program is the world of interconnection. If, to the extent that you have interconnection, you'll have connection with others. You can have connection with others and connection with God. But if you can't have a body-soul conversation, if your body and soul can't schmooze, chat with each other, then it's going to be very hard to have other levels of connection because you're not going to know what to do. In having that relationship, we can clarify what are the objectives, what are our objectives in life, what does our soul want from us, and then coming up with a plan of action is often just easy from there. Not always, but often it's pretty self-explanatory. By contrast, in the world, in the Western culture, we often jump right into solving problems before we identify what we want to accomplish. We're encouraged to stay busy, just plow ahead, jump through the next hoop, making all sorts of changes before taking the necessary time to identify what we want. Having a soul to converse with clarifies what we want to achieve. That's having another being there which can clarify for you and make it apparent what your goals are, and the result of that connection is accessing a divine perspective of what it is that we want to achieve in life. What do we really want to achieve and accomplish? Not just how to do it. How to do it is what we focus on in the West. I was taught throughout my entire university career, here's how you can do this, here's how you can do that. If you want to do this, here are the steps. Here are the steps for this. I was never told what to think or what to believe in. It was only how to go about accomplishing my goals. And that's missing out on something. I was never taught to converse with my soul, not once in any of my university classes in like 10 years of university education and 2 years of fellowship did it ever come up that having a great relationship with yourself is a key to figuring out what your values are. Having a conversation with yourself is a way of figuring out what you want. That never came up, ever. And here it's coming up. This is where I learned it from, that accessing a divine perspective inside of us helps us to in so many ways. So again, appreciating the soul is a precursor to expressing needs and raising issues. If we appreciate what we have inside of us, then we're more likely to express what we need and raise issues when we have it. Okay. Now, assuming that you do have an appreciation, at least somewhat of an appreciation, for your soul, or I should put it like this, to the extent that you have an appreciation for your soul, the rest of today's session will be relevant. Expressing needs. So expressing needs to the soul. What is this? This involves the body telling the soul about its preferences and its desires, opening up to the soul and telling it what it wants, what it would like to do. Last session we spoke a little bit about some of the body's needs, the physical needs and spiritual needs. But in reality, the body has so many, many, many needs, tens of thousands of needs all the time. And if you examine those needs, it's very apparent that many, if not most, they're not rational, they don't serve a function, they don't serve a real purpose, if you will. Like physical affection, what's the point in hugging? What's the point in having physical touch? Does it accomplish anything? No, it's just nice. What about having attention from other people? Why do we like it when other people are, these days, paying attention to our Facebook posts? Why do I like it more when I post something and I get 100 likes versus 10? Why do I like being excited or being happy or feeling relaxed or entertained? Why do I like ice cream? The answer is that, well, that's just who my body is. And this is by design. The fact that my body has all these, if you will, quote-unquote irrational needs, that they don't enhance productivity, that creates a unique opportunity for the soul to love the body. Because my soul knows that my body needs praise, even though it doesn't really do anything. Actually, praise does because it motivates me to do more. But my soul knows that my body needs excitement. My body likes to go on roller coasters. I like roller coasters. So why? What function does that serve? Well, you know what? Nothing. And that's great because that means that my soul can actually get out of itself instead of focusing on function and what it needs to accomplish and trying to drive my body to do something. It can just give to him. If the soul were to understand all the body's needs, its love for the body would be very shallow. We'll discuss that more in the world of interpersonal connection, that general concept. But since it's a deep need that only my body really understands, my soul can get out of itself and actually give. But by Western standards, the fact that the body's needs are irrational, it's at best it's inconvenient. Because I have to attend to all these needs, like sleep and eating and spirituality, and that means that I'm weak from a Western perspective. For this reason, when I have these needs and they conflict with reason or productivity, my soul's tendency is to shift them aside, to say, hey, that's not really a need. Is it really a need? I'm not sure if I need it. Kind of like what I was saying before about the manicure, I think. And disregarding the issue at hand. Of course, that's disconnection, no question, because it's failing to get beyond one's perspective and recognize or appreciate the needs of the other. To summarize, the connections paradigm and Western culture, they both agree that body needs don't make sense. However, this fact is seen as positive from a connections perspective, but in Western culture, we see it as a problem. We see it as an inconvenience. Now, this is why this is relevant to expressing needs. Your body often, from the get-go, is embarrassed when he or she has a need. And for this reason, he or she is going to be typically withhold expressing himself or herself to the soul. When your body has a need, it's like she has a, or he has something wrong with them. It's like it doesn't make sense. Like, why would I care so much about sleep? Like, do I really need 8 hours of sleep? Like, I'm such a weakling that I need it. That's the commentary in the back of the mind. And for that reason, since I'm embarrassed about it, I'm certainly not going to express it and say, hey, you know what, I'm really tired. Because, like, I shouldn't be tired. I should be strong. But that's a barrier to expression. Yeah. The body also might be buckling under stress. I've had countless patients who are just too ashamed to admit that they need more downtime. They need a break. They need to take some time off, whether it's an afternoon or a day or a week. You know, how many hours of vacation are never taken in the United States, in American culture? People leave their vacation time in their accounts. Alternatively, or additionally, really, the body might judge itself critically for having certain desires. Sometimes it feels guilty for wanting something, like if you want a new cell phone or a computer or a car or a piece of jewelry, or even something more basic, a piece of clothing. In other situations, the body might feel repulsed. It might like certain things, but it feels embarrassed that it has those needs. I have some examples, but, we'll move on. In all of these cases, when one feels ashamed, guilty, or grossed out by their own needs, the body can make a crucial mistake and ignore those needs and fail to express them. It's important to be able to speak about those to the soul. To clarify, this is important. There is no bodily need that is embarrassing. Whatever your body needs is, and whatever it wants, is something that it needs to be able to express. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to give in to everything your body wants. There has to be a discussion about it, though. But it shouldn't be something that never gets discussed. I want to clarify this. There might be cases where a person has a need, and it's disconnection to fantasize about it or to choose to give in to that need or that desire. But it's important for the body to alert the soul that it's having that need and to be able to speak about it. For example, you might say to yourself, hey, I'm having a need and I'm not sure if it's appropriate, if it's really good for me. Can we talk about this? As opposed to pretending that you don't have a need, not talking about it ever, and judging yourself, and letting the need grow without ever being addressed until it might get so big that you don't know what to do with it. It's connection for the body to simply state and describe what it wants, without apologetics, without explanations, regardless of what the need is or how it feels about that need, to be able to say, hey, you know what? You know, I've really been thinking of whatever it is. If somebody says, it's hard to come up with examples, but anything that they want. Somebody says, hey, I really want a new car. Somebody says, hey, you know, I really want to go on a vacation. Somebody says, hey, I really want to pierce my ears. Judging the body for that, or the body judging itself for those needs, is disconnection. Now, again, all of those examples that I gave and more, you might not end up providing those needs for the body, and that's okay, but they have to be a discussion between soul and body. You have to be okay with what you want. Sometimes the body also has short-term needs that have a long-term cost. For example, sometimes the body really needs to avoid pain, but it needs to get a vaccine. And in such cases, it's an act of connection for the soul to see, I really know that this is going to be hard, and I know you don't want to do it, but we need to get a vaccine. How can I make it up to you? But there's a discussion. The point is that there's a conversation about it. It's important for the body to express its needs and communicate its desires to the soul. And even if the soul decides, hey, you know, I'm really sorry we can't give into this, or I'm really sorry we can't, we have to go ahead with this even though you're not comfortable with it, it's going to make it up to it in some way, and it's at least going to be discussed. Put it differently, the body and the soul are like a married couple, and they need to communicate like a loving married couple. Even at the end, one party might not decide to go along with what the other one wants. They need to speak to each other. One partner has to say to the other, hey, you know, I'm not comfortable with this. And the other one says, like, well, I don't have a choice. I have to do it, but I really appreciate you telling me how you feel. And that's not the best situation, but it's connection. It's still connection. There's another point here, which is that it's disconnection for the soul to impose its views or perspectives when the body expresses its needs. When the body is expressing itself, it's just time to listen. It's just time to sit and listen to what the body wants. If the soul is telling the body what its needs are and it's not allowing the body to express itself, then the body's going to lose confidence if it can't figure out its own needs, and it's going to stop communicating. And that's going to lead to disconnection because the couple, body and soul, are going to stop communicating and being in love. The soul might, though, what it really could do is help the body to articulate its needs. Tell me what you want. What is it that you're looking for? No matter what it is. And whenever the body communicates something that it's embarrassed by, it's specifically important for the soul to listen and to listen without judgment. That lack of judgment and doing so with an open ear is what increases the chances that the body will come back and express itself again. And that leads to greater connection and greater relationship. So that's about expressing needs. Let's talk about raising issues. Raising issues is a little bit different. This involves the body initiating a discussion about something, about a problem. This is when the body needs help. There's expression of needs is just talking, just saying, hey, this is what I need. Raising issues is about when the body is having a problem and it needs help. And this is more complicated, quite a bit more complicated, because expressing needs, you just have to open up your mouth and speak, and your soul has to make sure that your body isn't feeling ashamed or guilty or disgusted, and that it's comfortable speaking about it itself. By contrast, though, raising issues, it's dynamic. It involves a conversation, not just primarily listening on the part of the soul, but an actual series of iterative communications. This is like what we talked about the first session, but it's really the next iteration of it, the next step of it. Which is that the body and soul are going to have a specific communication. The first step here is just the body to speak its mind. No constraints, no limitations, no time limit. It's an act of connection for the body to just take as much time as it wants and needs to express itself in its own terms. Just to chat. Hey, this is what's going on, that's what's going on. And the soul just listens. Some of my best psychotherapy sessions, I spend 50 minutes just listening to someone. At times during the session, I'm so itching to say something, but I can tell that they just want to be heard, and I'll just listen and listen and listen. In the last 10 minutes, or 5 minutes, however long the session is, or potentially longer if it's a longer session, I'll share my perspective and ask them if they want help, or if they just want me to hear them listen, and then I'll potentially assist, or I'll just continue to listen. I've had sessions where just the patient just wanted to speak the entire time, and I just had to sit there and listen, and it was great. It was an act of connection. And that we're talking about how to do that in interconnection. It's an act of connection for the soul just to provide the body with an opportunity to be heard. The purpose here is to create connection by having the soul listen to the body. In order to connect, the soul has to empathize and show concern and love for the body, primarily by listening. And it's disconnection for the soul to jump in, to try to solve things, to cut the body short as it expresses itself. Just listen reflectively. One thing you can do here, which is a good strategy, is to repeat back what you heard. So, for example, oh, so you're telling me that it was hard for you the other day. Yes, I was telling you it was hard. Oh, so it sounds like the hardest part about it was whatever. Yes, it's exactly what I'm saying. And if the body says, no, it's not what I'm saying, then clarify. It's a conversation where you're just reflectively listening, conveying empathy, being understanding, and listening, and nothing more. Not giving advice, not jumping in, not cutting the body short, not providing anecdotes, not providing non sequiturs, not going on tangents, just helping the body to express itself and just listen. All people who live in Western culture, the hardest part about raising issues is this first step, just sitting and listening. Whenever the body raises an issue, it's like, oh, we have to fix it. We have to fix it. No, don't. Just sit there and think about it. Go on a walk for an hour and just talk to your soul about what's going on. David, I have to remind, please remind me at the end of the session or send me an email. There's a great YouTube video that I want to send to you to send out to everybody who's on this call. It's a 1 minute and 42 seconds, and it is amazing, amazing, amazing video. It's called It's Not About the Nail, and it is a fabulous, fabulous video, which really shows this discussion. Okay. I'm going to note a couple more things. This connected soul might even prolong the first step by asking the body just to repeat everything. After the body has schmoozed and schmoozed and schmoozed for an hour, the connected soul might say to it, you know what, tell me again. I just want to hear you talk. And it's not because it wasn't listening. It's not because it didn't hear. It's because it wants to draw close and have the body open up. Now, in case we're confused, like, why is it connection for the body to express itself? Why shouldn't the soul just jump in? So according to the connections paradigm, the body and soul were created with what's known in psychology as partial complementary blindness, which means that the body appreciates and notices certain details about the physical world that the soul doesn't have on its own. It's blind to them. And the soul values facets of the spiritual world that the body tends to ignore without a spiritual guide. They actually can't, they just tend not, they could see what the other sees, but they tend not to. They're partially blind, and it's complementary. Between the two of them, they have 360-degree vision. But the one tends to see the one side, and the other tends to see the other side. So the act of the soul just listening is expanding its field of vision. It's taking on the perspective of the other, and it's learning to see something from its perspective. That in of itself is connection. That was a deeper explanation of what's going on here. Okay. Now, once the body has said its piece, for however long it likes, and it might take days, more likely it's like 5 minutes, because that would be a lot of time these days. At this point, the soul should ask the body a question. Hey, body, do you want me to continue listening, or are you looking for assistance? Ask the question. Are you looking for practical guidance, or do you want me to keep listening? And the body might say, you know what, I just go on a chat. So then go back to listen. Listen, 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 listen. And then you can ask the body during another lull in the conversation, do you want me to keep listening, or do you want to talk about solutions? And it might say, I want to listen. I want you to listen. Of course, the question isn't intended to further along the conversation. It's just intended to convey to the body that you want to provide for its needs. And depending on the body's answer, the soul either listens empathically and reflectively for however long the body wants, or it enters into assistance mode. If it's assistance, then there are a couple of steps to take. The first is just to describe the problem. It sounds to me like you're telling me there is X problem, and these are the different facets of it. So to be succinct and accurate. And then to ask the body, is that correct? And the body might say, no, you misunderstood. And the soul would say, hey, well then, please explain the whole thing to me one more time, just from the beginning, just so I get it. And listen, 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 until you come up with a very clear, succinct, and accurate description of the problem, offer the body the opportunity to hear that, and then, if the body wants, provide it. Another thing is brainstorming. Identify all possible solutions without constraints. Don't take into account their drawbacks. Don't take into account their possibility. Just identify everything that possibly could happen. Identify pros and cons to each one, and then select something to implement, and then try and work together. It's a matter of getting clear on what the issue is, being succinct about it, brainstorming, identifying pros and cons, selecting solution to implement, and then trying it. And if it doesn't work, then we have another conversation. The point is that we're in it together, that my body and my soul are not alone, that they will work together on this. My soul will listen to my body. My body will describe things to my soul. It will express what it needs. It will describe issues that it's having. It will, when the soul has heard it, he can go back and describe for my body succinctly and accurately what the issue is. We can work together to brainstorm, to identify pros and cons, and select solutions, and to implement them together. Okay, so we discussed before successfully facilitating body and soul connection. We have to overcome our natural tendencies to converse about, converse about body's needs and issues. For the body, there are a number of barriers here. We have to recognize our needs, and that makes creates a vulnerability. That makes us vulnerable, and it's uncomfortable because when we have a need, when our body has a need, we feel that we're not strong on our own. And the reality is we're not. When the body identifies a lack that it has to come to accept that it's not independent. It has to depend on others to take care of its needs. Your body is immeasurably, its life is immeasurably enriched by the fact that it has a soul. It's not alone. So the body can get very confused. Sometimes the body has all sorts of negative emotion. It doesn't want to necessarily feel vulnerable. It doesn't want to open up. And the soul has to make it feel really comfortable in order to do so. To say, hey, I'm here for you. It doesn't, you know, whether you're vulnerable or not, we're in this together. For the soul, it has to learn to listen instead of jumping into assist. It also has to learn to appreciate the body's physical needs, even though they have no inherent value. I've seen this in couples work, both sides of it. Let's talk about the body and the vulnerability side. A lot of people in a marital relationship, they don't like the fact that they have to rely on somebody else. And because of that, they'll never ask for a favor. And since they never ask for a favor, their spouse never knows what they need. And since their spouse doesn't know what they need, spouse never has an opportunity to provide, and then they never have an opportunity to feel loved, and the couple end up becoming very distant. In many cases, that dynamic in of itself leads to people splitting up. It's really, really sad. So again, the progression is people don't like being vulnerable because they feel uncomfortable, so they don't want to feel like they're lacking independence. They don't want to have to depend on other people, so therefore they don't describe what they need. They end up becoming distant from their spouse because their spouse doesn't know who they are, spouse doesn't know what they need, and the two end up growing apart. So body and soul, it's the same thing. Whatever your needs are, express them to your body, express them to your soul. Open up and say, hey, I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do it on my own. I want to have a relationship. I want to be in a marriage. As far as the soul goes, the soul has to listen to the body, like I said, and appreciate its needs. And I've seen this play out in marriages as well. Sometimes the soul, or I should say one person in a relationship, will say to the others, that's not a need. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why do you need 16 pairs of shoes? Why do you need that extra car? Why do you need to go away for so many days for work? You don't really need it. And it happens on both sides of a relationship. And by doing so, it creates distance because who wants to express themselves to somebody who judges them? Nobody. So approaching the body without judgment, approaching the body being ready to listen and ready to at least hear out what his or her needs are, you might not provide for all those needs, but at least you got to hear it out what it is. That in of itself is connection. So our exercise coming forward is going to have your soul listen to your body. Since we're just getting started, I'd like you to do this for actually 2 full minutes. Identify one of your needs, anything that your body would like. It could be anything, something even that, ideally, something you're embarrassed of. But something, you know, if you're not embarrassed of anything, that's fine. Come up with something that you want and describe them in as much detail as possible to the soul. I would like to go on a roller coaster. I would like the roller coaster to have a massive, massive drop of 150 feet. That's big. And that would probably be really, really exciting for me. And at least 2 loops and then another 50-foot drop at the end. That would be so exhilarating for me. So describe it in tons and tons and tons of detail. Also during the 2 minutes a day, you could, probably it's not enough time for both, but you could identify one of your needs, again, like I just said, and just describe it. Detail, detail, detail. For 2 full minutes. Here's another one. Identify an issue that you're facing, any problem, and just chat about it. Just describe it. Here's the problem. Here's, and you can repeat yourself. It's totally, totally fine. And just have your soul listen. Whether you describe a need or raise an issue, connect to your soul. Connect to your soul by speaking freely and without any constraints. Don't hold anything back. Enjoy the fact that you have a partner. You have a divine being right at your fingertips, right there with you. And that's going to be the exercise for the week. The key is to connect to your soul, to have your body connect to your soul by speaking freely without any constraints and any limitations. Okay. Now, we have an interesting situation with our charts. We have a 4th exercise. The 4 exercises are body-soul conversation out loud, sitting with discomfort and distress, providing for your soul's physical or spiritual needs once a day, and expressing a need or raising an issue to the body once per day. Now, on your charts, which I hope you're all doing, we only have room for 3 exercises, so we're going to bump the first one off, body-soul conversations. Now, it so happens that we just replaced it with exercise 4, which is also a form of body-soul conversation. At least it's your body communicating with your soul. So it's pretty similar to the one that we just bumped off. But the 3 exercises on your chart are going to be sitting with distress, SWD, providing for your body's physical and spiritual needs, and expressing a need or raising an issue to a soul. And they're each done once per day. Now, just to clarify, keep doing your three volley conversations, at least on a daily basis. The goal here is to play with these technologies for 3 weeks, at least 3 weeks, and to chart them so that way they'll become somewhat habitual. Those conversations are gold. So I'm not saying stop doing the exercise, I'm just saying stop charting them. The goal is to get your exercises into your daily life and to be a habitual. And that is the end of session number 4.
How do you avoid overindulgence? It could be that Americans don't take vacations or enough vacations, but they also tend to overindulge. And the motto in America seems to be eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think YOLO is the new motto. You only live once.
Right.
That's what they're saying on college campuses. YOLO, or eat, drink, and be merry, does not occur when people are connected. In fact, the reason why YOLO occurs is when people are specifically disconnected. If you say to your body, I love you, and I'm going to give you whatever you want, you just have to talk to me about it first, then the body's not going to go out and grab whatever it can. The body's not going to feel deprived, and the body's not going to overindulge because it knows that its physical needs are respected. It knows that its physical needs are real. It feels validated by those needs. It doesn't have to go out and engage in debauchery. It can, or even, you know, less than that. It doesn't have to go out and indulge. It's going to get ice cream. If the body says to the soul, hey, I really like ice cream, the soul is going to find a, if you will, kosher way to provide that need. If the body doesn't say to the soul, I need ice cream, I like ice cream, then it's going to find a way to get that need met without the soul. And when that happens, then you end up with YOLO.